And after the message, as Brother Felix said, sometime before we end, we're going to play another song. And we played these two songs during yesterday's Yom Kippur meeting, but we wanted to play them and sing them with you today as well. So we will continue where we left off with Acts chapter 15, verse 21. It says, "For Moses of old time hath him in every city, them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day." So Moses, since of old, so doesn't mean in the past, but of old time till their present time, has people preaching him every Sabbath. And we know that was the apostolic response to the congregation in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia, who were being troubled by certain men, as it says in verse 1 of chapter 15, who came from Judea. And to teach that except a person be circumcised after the manner of Moses, that means in the flesh, you cannot be saved. And later on in verse 5, when they were in Jerusalem addressing the issue, some of the Pharisees which believed said that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And as we went over, that the circumcision implied here is the circumcision of the flesh, which we saw that the law never required for Gentiles. It was an option if they wanted to keep the Passover, but they didn't have to. And that is to eat, not to keep it, but to eat the lamb, I should say, of the Passover. And also they said it was necessary to command them to keep the law of Moses. And we saw in our last teaching that the law is a general word used in different ways with different meanings. It can mean the entire legal system, the entire law, or it could just mean the specific commandments of Elohim, like the Ten Commandments. But in context here, it's talking about the entire law of Moses for the Gentile nations to adapt that same administration. And we saw that the administration of Moses was the administration of death. Not that it's a bad thing, but that it, because the world was so bad, so evil, that you needed this administration or management or control of death because people were butchering themselves. So the law of Moses became a constraint to keep people from killing themselves. So that's what we saw. But then we noticed that we saw that the administration of Messiah is the administration of life. It has gone beyond controlling death, but to giving and administering life from long life, from healthy life to everlasting life. So that's the difference. So we can understand that there's no contradiction in the scriptures. When we hear of the administration of death, that we don't think it's a bad thing, but it was a good thing for that time. But better things are spoken of in the new covenant and the supreme high priest, prophet, king, and judge, Messiah, Yeshua. He is the administrator of life. And also they said, let's not worry about Moses. Let's not worry about that because, as it says in verse 21, for Moses of old time hath them that read him, preach him every Sabbath. So in other words, the Gentiles who are coming to faith will come to know all of these things. But at the same time, they will come to know it through apostolic teaching and the teachings through of Messiah and his spirit especially, so that they could filter out the things that were for the past and the things that are for them. So no, the Gentiles did not have to adopt the entire legal system of Moses as suggested by the Pharisees. So let's continue. Let's read from verse 22 and see how far we can get. So verse 22 says, of chapter 15, then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole congregation to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabas, Silas, chief men among the brethren. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. Quote, the apostles and elders and brethren send greetings unto the brethren which are of the nations in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. Verse 24, for as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your soul, saying, ye must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our sovereign, the Kurios Yeshua Messiah, the elect one. Verse 27, we have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit, to the set-apart Spirit, to the sanctified Spirit, and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that ye abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well. Fare ye well. So let's go back and go through this as quickly as we can. So we see that then it pleased the apostles and elders, the apostles and the elders, with the whole congregation. So it wasn't one thing. It's not one man or a few people making that decision. Even though one apostle could have made that right choice. But Elohim doesn't work like that. Elohim wants the body to function as a body. I'm going to say that again. One apostle could have done this perfectly. But no, it pleased the apostles and elders with the whole congregation. And so that's how we are to operate. We don't operate like the broken cistern of religions that people have made, where there's this man or a few men and women, however they set it up, that are giving orders according to their own pleasure behind closed doors sometimes. No, the congregation of Elohim does not operate like that. The congregation of Elohim is light. For he says, you are the light of the world. He is the light, but he has sent us as light. And light makes manifest. We do nothing behind closed doors. We do nothing in secret, except the things that pertains to the congregations. We don't share certain things with the world. But the things of the congregation are done openly among each other, not behind closed doors. So who makes the decisions? Who's involved in the decision process? Everyone. And back then, with the super apostles and the elders, with the whole congregation. So bear in mind, look at the groups out there. If you don't see them operating like that, try to help them, but never subscribe to them until they operate that way. Because that's how we operate. And that's why, as much you see doing service, we beg for participation. Because that's what we're aiming for. And some of you have been very helpful in that, in asking questions and so on. All this opens our hearts, enlarges our hearts to function and to think the way Elohim wants us to think. So it pleased them to send chosen men of their own company, not people who were just believers who were not of their company. Remember the last time we were in Acts chapter 15? We talked about there were other believers, but they were not the company of the apostles. They were not the company. The apostles of who? The apostles of Yeshua Messiah. There are people who have heard of Messiah, came to their own conclusions. Much later on, after the destruction of the temple, we had the Ebionites. I wouldn't want us to fall prey. Some people fall prey. It's like some people have this fascination about Hebraic things, that whenever something is Hebrew, they think it's good. No. Just look at the testimony of the Torah and the prophets. Things Hebrew are not that good. Things Elohim are good. Anything good that were in the Hebrews came from Elohim, not of the Hebrews themselves. That is the greatest, one of the biggest lies that's plaguing the congregations, that people think if it's Hebrew, it's good. That is insanity. There's nothing good in the flesh of anyone. Nothing. It is the spirit of Elohim that causes good. When you look at the history of Israel, how atrocious it is and abominable, and cause the name of Elohim to be blasphemed everywhere. Why would anyone thinking Hebrew is good? It's not. Just as thinking Greek or anything fleshy is not. But thinking by the Spirit, thinking by the mind of Messiah, that is good. So going back to this, we had some people that were of their own mind, not of the mind of Messiah. They believe, but they were not following Messiah. They were not following the apostolic teachings that were evident by the power of the Spirit. They were teaching their own sectarian version of Yeshua. They were Pharisees. You cannot be a disciple of Yeshua and be a Pharisee. You can't. You cannot be a Sadducee. You cannot be any ism. You cannot be any of today's things. I'm not going to name them out of respect, but all these different congregations. All these different denominations. You cannot be a denominational person and be a servant of Elohim. And if you are a servant of Elohim caught up in a denomination, Elohim will take you out of these things. Because as we come out of her, my people, touch not the unclean Babylonian things, the thing of confusion, of mixture. Elohim has nothing to do with mixture. Everything has is pure, no shadow of turning. So anyway, so it says, from our own company. That's why that is said. So I'm sending these men, they are from our own company. Don't worry, they're not like those men who came and troubled your soul that we did not send. So men from our own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surname Barsabas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. So, and who's involved in this decision? Just the apostles? No, it's the apostles, the elders, and the entire congregation, entire body of Messiah. First, and they wrote letters by them after this matter. So they wrote letters. So how did they communicate? So how can we learn to communicate truth? Let's look at this carefully, because this is something the congregation of Elohim has been doing, and we continue to do this. They wrote letters, right? They wrote in written form. They wrote it. And then we already read what was said. We're not going to go there yet. I just want to examine how they communicated. So in writing, and what happened to the writings? Did they just send them out any old way? Notice that the apostles and elders and brethren sent greetings because by chosen men, by chief men among the brethren. They sent these letters because they wanted to make sure the letters are in trusted hands. They wanted to make sure the letters were written by trusted men, they trusted brethren, and they wanted to make sure these letters were distributed by trusted men. We are to do the same. We do this, we will blanket the entire United States and beyond with the gospel, the true word of Elohim, if we all do our part. We all need to do our part to help. That's why we encourage you. Don't despise small beginnings. The messages that we've been recording, they're beneficial, they're effectual. There are lots of things could print out that we have already put out there. They're on the internet. Look through them. Look through the Congregation of Elohim website. If you need help, call us. We'll show you where to find. Print them. Distribute them. And you will be doing a great work for Elohim. Help us all. So that's one way. What else did they do? It seemed good, verse 25, it seemed good unto us being assembled with one accord to send chosen men unto you and are with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Kurios, the absolute ruler, Yeshua, Messiah, the elect one. We have sent them, therefore, Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the things by mouth. Very, very specific. Tell you, and they included the word by mouth. They want to make sure that there's no mistaking on how to do this. It's not tell you through a letter, because if they didn't say by mouth, those of us reading today, some of us might conclude, oh, tell us mean it's this letter. Just, you know, they just distributed the letter. No, they want to make sure you understand. They're going to give them the copies. They're going to make sure they have the letter. And then we're going to have trusted brethren, full of the Spirit, to read you the letter, to tell them in their hearing the letter by their own mouths, communication. So that's another way to serve. Maybe some of us don't know how to preach, but we're full of faith. Take some of the messages that are recorded and read them to people. You can do that. Do you imagine how many people you can reach? The messages have already been furnished. All you need to do is take those messages, print them, and you can have your own congregation meeting. When I say your own, not the congregation is your own, no, congregation belongs to Elohim, but you can do a service for the congregation in your home, wherever you are, without having to be a preacher yourself, because you have it done for you, just like you have here. And if you have, and if you're able to do your own, you do your own. But all things are shared among the brethren. So the teachings that are on there are for that. Don't let them go to waste. I'm sure you don't want to, you would not want to waste your Sabbath being here as Sabbath after Sabbath. I'm so blessed that to have us come together, but I'm sure at the same time you are, I want to believe you're here because you're getting some sort of blessing from it and that you're learning and you're being encouraged. I'm trusting that's why you are here. So think about, you can share that experience with others by just taking what we've put on the website and share it with the brethren. All you need to do is read it in advance and read it to the brethren, to whoever you are inviting. And we have the messages that we record, like this one. You could just have it invite people to listen with you. Okay, so how do they communicate? Through the writings, through the letters. Secondly, through the word of mouth. That's why we have this, all these epistles, these letters, is because they were copied and preserved generation after generation, and we have them. And we could read them and study from them. And we should continue doing the same thing. Let's move on. So that's how the message was communicated, through faithful men. There's no room in the congregation for marginal people. And what I mean by that, to serve. Everyone who serves in the congregation of Elohim must be pristine. It's a fact. We all must be people of faith, because otherwise we will be found to be hypocrites teaching something that we're not doing ourselves. We need to be living examples of the word. We can't be people living in sin. We can't. That's a no-no. And if we're living in sin, is that the end of? No, it's not the end of the world. It just means you can't serve yet. By Elohim's standards, men may say it's okay, but Elohim says no. We have to be pristine in our lives, good report, where we're not going to say one thing and then in the sight people catch us doing something else. That's one of the biggest accusations churches have. Oh, they're hypocrites because they say one thing and do another. And then when they're caught long enough, what do they do? They dumb down the word itself. They change the word to reflect their lifestyle. That's what we see today. You know, people who don't want to repent of their sinful lives, what do? They alter the word and they have itchy ears and find teachers to tell them that it's okay to live the way they live. The congregation of Elohim will never do this injustice to anybody. We will tell people the truth lovingly. So that's how it's done. By the letters, by the writings, and by the word of mouth. And today with technology, we could print things, we could share things online, we could teach as we're doing now. You could hear the word that I'm saying. So there are many ways we could do it. We will be praying so that we can all do that. Let me try to finish this portion. So the letter, basically, having all of this, the letter was very straightforward. So it says, it seemed good to set apart spirit and to us. So there's a union of the spirit of Elohim and the soul of these disciples, that's in these disciples, their own spirit, their own mind. There's union. There's no discord. They're not struggling with what the spirit is saying because they know what good is. And that's when people make the mistake. They hear something that's good, but for whatever reason, they struggle with it rather than yield to what is good, because all things that are good comes from the Father above. All things that are good comes from the Father of all. And what is good? And this is something I've learned from Elohim himself directly. I have not read this. He taught me that good is that which benefits, that is beneficent, and never harms or infringes upon the innocent. Good is that which is beneficent and never infringes or harms the innocent. Okay, that's what good is. So whatever is good, whatever does not contradict what is written, what is good, what is evident in nature by Elohim, that you know is good. We shouldn't struggle against things like that. For it seems good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. What are these things? No other burden than these necessary things to these Gentiles, to these people that are coming to the faith, that ye abstain from meats offered to idols. Those of us who read the book of Jubilees and understand these things, who understand, I believe, possibly Enoch 2 and some other books, we understand why, what's going on with the meats offering to idols. And also in New Testament writings of Peter's teachings recorded by Clement in the Clementine Acts. Very important things that the ancient congregations knew and very few people knew today. Because they've abandoned these teachings under the effects of Protestantism and other isms. But the ancient bishops, they read the Clementine Acts and knew these things perfectly. So meats offered to idols, these things are not to be done. Even though the idols themselves are nothing, the idols are associated with spirits. And Paul, in the book of Corinthians, alludes to that. And it's exactly what the book of Jubilees and Enoch tells us, giving us the details that Paul and the others know about. You do not eat anything offered to idols and from blood. And we know a hint from the Torah that the life of the soul is in the blood. You do not eat blood of any kind. Me, by nature, I am a vegetarian, but I'm glad I am, because I never have to worry about that. Because today, people just go to the market and buy and just buy meat and eat it. That's not right. The blood is in the flesh that you see in most marketplaces, and you can't get it out, okay? Because it's already congealed in there. It's not handled the way it should be handled, because the blood should be drained completely out. But some people let their appetites control them, and they'll just go to eat a hamburger. No, we do not eat blood. It doesn't mean drinking the blood. If the blood is dried up and congealed, as it is in most of the meat stores you go to, a Christian, it's up to you. But a believer in Messiah, a nuke, should not eat that, because the blood is still in there. It's just congealed in it. And from fornication, that is a great sin to Elohim also, fornication. These things, all these things are sins that will lead you to so many other vices. The people coming to the faith, the Gentiles were told not to do these things, to keep themselves pure. So what? So that the Spirit of Elohim could continue to indwell them and teach them. Because the Spirit of Elohim will not inhabit anything unclean. Okay? So there's much more that can be said about that, but I think you all know enough about that. So from which they say, if you keep yourself, you shall do well. You shall do well. It's something now we can't use the word progressive anymore because the society has perverted it, but I'm using the word progressive in its original intent, like something that's improving and getting better. So you shall get better. You will continue to grow. That's what that is saying. And it says, fare you well indeed. So I stop here with this teaching. So let's just do a quick recap. So what we saw how the brethren got together. We saw that when decision making is being done, is being made, as we saw in also, I believe, Acts chapter 1, where we saw the disciples, when they needed to replace Judas, who lost. It's so important. It's so interesting. When Judas lost his opportunity for salvation and was being replaced, they did not make a decision. Then neither did they take a vote. They actually, from knowledge, from faith, chose two that they knew met the criteria, and then they cast lots by the Spirit to decide which one was to know which one Elohim chose. So they did not make these two decisions on their own or by vote, which is something commonly being done now in these churches. They just vote people in, vote people out. Not like that. That'll never be in the congregation of Elohim. So likewise here now, all the way many years later, years later, now in this experience in chapter 15, again, they're making a decision. They're making it together. Now the congregation is full, is intact, is what it's supposed to be. They have their apostles, they have their elders, and they have the congregation. They have the full example from just finding someone to replace Judas. Now they have the full organized body here in this chapter, and they work together. It's not the elders' job to make the decisions. It's not their job to make the decisions. The elders' job, their job is to hear from the apostles when the apostles are available, or for them to hear from Elohim, okay? And to share with the congregation. And the bishop's job helps with is that also, but also is the administrator, not decision maker. They organize what was decided by the whole. They organize what was decided by the whole, not by themselves. This is the truth of scriptures. And they explain how this ought to be done. It is to be done in writing so the brethren could have it for themselves and take it home and examine it themselves and pray about it. And also to have the spirit-filled people to speak the words into their hearing, for faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of Elohim, to speak the words into their hearing so they could fully understand. So they could also have what? A living presence there that if they have a question, they can ask. And of course, if they're in a situation where there are no bishops, the spirit of Elohim will intervene. Elohim never leaves us without help, okay? So to send the letters, and then finally, what did the letter say? There are principal things, physical things they need to stay away from. Stay away from blood, from idols, absolutely. Do not eat things sacrificed, offered to idols. So they need to be very careful about that. Do not eat, abstain from blood. Make sure that doesn't go into your body to the best of your ability. And from things strangled, and let's analyze that a bit. I didn't do that. Strangle is to basically restrict the breathing of something, of an animal until it dies. You don't eat something that dies that way. One of the reasons, because the blood is still in there. That's one of the reasons too. So, all right. So it says, if you keep yourselves from these, you will do well. And of course, as they reasoned among themselves, by the Spirit, that they will hear Moses every Sabbath, okay? So don't let people tell you that that's all they needed to do. No, these were some basic things that they needed to make sure they do. But circumcision of the flesh and obtaining the administration of death, the entire legal system of Moses, the entire law of Moses, was not a requirement. And we know this because this is evident right here. Because all of these things spoken here were written in the law of Moses. So it's showing you that he's not saying you're supposed to not keep the commandments. No, it's just that it's the administration, the full-blown law of Moses. The Gentiles did not need to adopt these things. Thank you for listening.